It feels like we're all being told to go on this diet, take that supplement. Ozempic will give you depression, but you know what'll cure that? Weed. Or you could try to balance your hormones. At Science Versus, we're like,
what the f*** is going on?
Forget the crap online and listen to Science Versus. Just the facts. Oh, and a bunch of stupid jokes.
What is a ghost's favorite fruit? Booberries.
That's Science VS. New season out on Spotify soon.
Today is Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. On this day in 2019, four students attacked their classmate, 14-year-old Devin Brackey Selvey. Devin was stabbed to death outside of his high school in Hamilton, Ontario. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. I'm Vanessa Richardson, and today I'm joined by our guest host, Alastair Murden from Superstitions. His show tells stories illustrating the horror, the weirdness, and the truth inside each and every superstition. He's here to discuss the consequences of the attack, while I'll cover the events leading up to it.
Thanks for having me, Vanessa. Hello, everyone. Today, we're covering the tragic death of Devin Brackey Selvey, a Canadian teen who was fatally stabbed by a group of his classmates.
Now, let's go back to October 7th, 2019, just after noon. Sherry Ann Selvey wouldn't usually be driving to her son's high school at 1 p.m. on a Monday, but when she heard the edge in Devin's voice on the phone, she knew something was wrong. When he told her there was an argument on campus, she felt like she had to come. Though the school year had just begun, Sherry Ann was already worried. Devin was being bullied constantly. Almost as soon as classes had resumed, older kids started picking on the 14-year-old and his friends. Devin cried as he told her that he'd been jumped and chased down the street by his tormentors. One night, his bike was stolen. He didn't want a confrontation and surrendered the bike, hoping it would appease the teens. But things weren't getting any better. Soon, Devin's friend, Brody Wagger, returned home with a black eye. And while a group of mothers had been pressing the school's leadership to intervene and stop the bad behavior, little had changed in recent weeks. It seemed no matter how often they picked their children up from school early or who they hounded for change, the bullying continued. Some mornings, Devin refused to get ready to go to school. He was too terrified to get out of bed. That Monday afternoon, Sherry Ann felt a pit in her stomach, as if things had somehow gotten even worse. She was right. At Sir Winston Churchill Secondary School, just miles from Lake Ontario's serene shores, a dangerous situation was reaching a fever pitch. Devin and his friends had noticed their bullies lingering near the school as they stepped outside. Brody's dad, Sean Wagger, was on campus with the boys that afternoon. He intended to confront the older teens about their behavior, both for his son and for Devin. But things quickly spiraled out of hand. Though Sean Wagger had hoped he might reason with the teens, they were looking for a fight. When he approached, the bullies yelled at him to stay back. Wagger later told a reporter that he expected one of them to try and strike him. But what came next was absolutely shocking. The teens sprayed Sean in the face with bear spray, a stronger version of pepper spray. He staggered back, clutching his face as the chemicals burned his skin. Sean wavered, looking to flush his eyes, just as another passerby overheard the confrontation. A recently graduated Winston Churchill student, Riley McCauley, also realized that things were escalating, but he too was powerless to stop it. He got caught in the barrage of bear spray, just like Sean. his vision blurry, Macaulay turned and ran towards the school to get help. With both men who might help the younger boys subdued, Devin and his friends were left at the mercy of their bullies. The last thing both Sean and Macaulay recalled seeing was Devin running for his life. Coming up, we'll discuss Devin's fate and the aftermath of that October afternoon. Hi, listeners. I'm so excited to introduce you to the newest Spotify original from Parcast called Blind Dating. Hosted by YouTuber Tara Michelle, Blind Dating is a fun twist on a classic setup. Strangers are introduced, conversation commences, and sparks either fly or fizzle. But here's the catch. Our hopeful singles have to choose their match before ever seeing their face. And once they've picked their potential date, we turn the cameras on, and then it's either butterflies or goodbyes. Blind Dating airs weekly, with new episodes every Wednesday. You can find and follow Blind Dating free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to the story. On October 7th, 2019, a group of teenage students in Hamilton, Ontario, used bear mace to stop two older men from intervening while they bullied their classmates. They then took off running after one of their targets, 14-year-old Devin Brackey Selvey. My guest host Alistair is going to take over from here to discuss the attack that followed, as well as the tragic consequences of the incident.
Thanks, Vanessa. The older boys were out for blood. While eyewitness accounts about the next few moments vary, most agree that the teens ran after Devin while his mother, Sherri-Ann Selvey, tried to catch up in her car. No witnesses, aside from Sherri-Ann, were close enough to see what came next. Devin was brutally stabbed by the two teens, who were ages 14 and 18, before she could stop them. By the time she jumped out to help her son, it was too late. When emergency responders arrived at the scene, Sherri-Ann was clutching her son in her arms. Devin was loaded into an ambulance. Paramedics couldn't detect any vital signs. News of the attack outside spread to the teachers inside Sir Winston Churchill Secondary School, and all the students were placed under lockdown. Hours passed before they found out about Devin's death. Soon afterward, the two teen brothers who were responsible for the stabbing were arrested. They were later charged with first-degree murder, though their identities were withheld due to Canada's Youth Criminal Justice Act. Looking for more answers, the media focused on Sherri-Ann Selvey and the other adults who had been present that September afternoon. Sherri-Ann couldn't bring herself to speak about the details of her last moments with her son. However, she did use the press to condemn the school for failing to address the bullying that ultimately led to Devin's death. She was heartbroken. She felt that the world had failed her son. He was a protector, she said, but no one had shielded him in his time of need. Devin had told the school administration that he felt both unsafe and victimized, but little had been done to help him. Though the Winston Churchill School Board had a policy of zero tolerance for harmful weapons or behavior, Sherri-Ann felt their actual response to the bullying was insufficient. Other individuals who were at the scene during the attack also spoke up to the media. They wondered if anything could have been done differently and whether they had taken the best course of action. Sean Wagger, the father who tried to intervene before being assaulted with bear spray, was also disappointed by the behavior of the school and the authorities. He believed that perhaps the entire situation could have been quelled before it fatally escalated, if the adults involved had acted sooner. Others pointed out that the system had, in some ways, failed the teenage killers as well. Why had such animosity been allowed to fester unchecked? No one quite had that answer. That much was clear. With these questions in mind, students at Winston Churchill returned to classes a few days later with heavy hearts. They felt reminded of how cruel people could be and how fragile life really was. Devon's absence, above all else, signaled that empathy and communication would be the most important tools to master that year.
I'm Vanessa Richardson. Thanks again, Alistair, for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. You can find my podcast, Superstitions, on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. For more stories on crimes that have been brought to a close, check out the Parcast original, Solved Murders. Today in True Crime is a Parcast original. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Today in True Crime, for free, from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Today in True Crime on Spotify, just open the app and type Today in True Crime in the search bar. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Joshua Kern. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Mackenzie Moore, with writing assistance by Terrell Wells, and stars Alistair Murden and Vanessa Richardson. Remember to follow Blind Dating for a dash of romance and rejection. YouTuber Tara Michelle hosts, and she's thrilled to help hopeful singles meet their match once they've survived the hot seat. Follow Blind Dating free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.